intimate and exotic touches. Online at verointernationalcuisine.com. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning, everyone. This is Marlo Harmon, your host of Community Matters with WGTD 91.1 HD. And today I have with me the Racine Neighborhood Watch Program Director, Susan Fear. And we are going to be talking about the National Night Out event that typically goes each year, the month of August. And this year for Racine is the 24th year that Racine Neighborhood Watch is coordinating activities and supporting events where law enforcement and neighbors get together in a fun and positive atmosphere to make a unified stand against crime. So, Susan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, tell me a little bit about your background and how this led to you being the program director for the Racine Neighborhood Watch.
Well, I've been in the position since January, so I'm a relative newbie, but not to the nonprofit world. Worked for about 5 years in the nonprofit world, both as a program director and executive director. I've worked with seniors, recruiting them for volunteer work and also arranging rides. Awesome. So it was a really good fit for me to stay in the nonprofit world where you're really serving the community as well as making difference in the lives of not only seniors but families and children as well.
Awesome. Seems like you have a good background. So how does your background and the passion for serving individuals, how does that help with the mission of the Neighborhood Watch program?
Well, the mission of Racine Neighborhood Watch is to create safe, friendly, and attractive neighborhoods. You know, everybody deserves to have a neighborhood in which they live that is free from worry.
Yes.
You shouldn't have to think about, am I safe in my own home?
Yes.
And that's what we do. We empower residents. We get them together and help them understand that by creating a neighborhood where you know each other and you're aware of each other and maybe even friends. You know, you don't have to end up, although it's happened where there have been romances between some of the neighbors. But really taking that old-fashioned stand where we watch out for one another. We
yes.
care about each other. This is our neighborhood and criminals, goodbye.
Yes. Well, I have to share with the listeners that my involvement with the National Night Out has actually started with me being a neighborhood captain through the Neighborhood Watch program. So it is something that is very dear to my heart in serving the community in an effort that's going to increase safety for everyone is something that is definitely important in my opinion. So how has the program, National Night Out Against Crime, how has it changed over the years?
Well, National Night Out originally started back in 1984, and the purpose was to get people to know one another. It was turn your porch lights out. Out on.
Yes.
Come on out and get to know your neighbors. Since then, it's evolved. It has a new theme or new purpose. While they still embrace the turn your lights on and come out,
right.
But it's also let's get together, let's give a going away party to crimes and drugs in our neighborhood.
Okay. So from some of the information that I have read, it seems like last year in 2014, over 6,000 individuals attended.
Yes.
More mm-hmm. than 60 events.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So in celebrating the neighborhood and this, what are some of the events that incorporate National Night Out? I know that there are kids things and kids can do things, but what else can neighbors do?
Oh, it's as varied as the neighborhoods themselves. We have the COP houses, which are the community-oriented policing houses that have the COP officers that organize things for their neighborhood. COP houses are located in areas that have had trouble and have had crime and really need the extra assistance of developing a one-to-one relationship with the police officer who's there for 2 to 3 years.
Right.
So you've got that relationship built up. They get together, they pull in additional neighborhoods, and they celebrate that neighborhood. There's local churches. We have local churches that put 4 different churches together and come together in one great big parking lot. I had a registration for a national night out event of 10 people. They're going to get together in a garage, have coffee and Kringle, and talk about what's going on. So it does have that crime prevention theme background, but also the idea of getting to know one another. There are so I think I put together a list yesterday of over 75 activity ideas for doing a national night out event. You can do everything from as varied from, getting together, talking about neighborhood history, giving awards or prizes for the oldest resident or the longest resident who's been in the neighborhood. You can do the youngest neighbor or the newest neighbor. Games for the kids, things like water balloon tosses, water sponge tosses, frisbees, any kind of game that you can think of that you would do as an outside game is a great way to incorporate the kids. One of my favorite new ones to think about is if you've got a smaller neighborhood, decorate your lawnmowers and have a beautiful lawnmower contest. Or
that is different.
On the other side, do the ugliest lawnmower. I'm not advocating snowblowers, but if a neighborhood wants to do that, you know, it's Wisconsin.
All right.
But there are bigger events where we anticipate up to 600 people, 300 people, 200 people, or as I said before, smaller events where it's 10 to 20. It's all what fits the neighborhood and the purpose. A lot of our community centers do big things. I know that the Cesar Chavez Center is doing a night out at the movies. So for theirs. And it's just a way to get people together, to break down those barriers, break down those walls, get to know each other and say, hey, this is my neighborhood. This is where I live. I'm glad you're here. Let's make sure it's a safe, attractive, and friendly place to be.
Awesome. I really like that. And again, I think that bringing neighbors together, bringing individuals together as a collaborative effort to fight crime is something that all communities need. So in addition to Racine and Kenosha, this area, what other cities or states participate in National Night Out?
Oh, well, when National Night started back in 1984, there were actually 2.5 million people that attended that first time event.
Wow.
And there were about 400 communities and 23 states. In that time, National Night Out has now grown to be 38 million people at 16,500 communities, all 50 states, Canada, and military bases.
Wow.
So our quote-unquote little event with 60 events that are attended by over 6,000 people, it's a little bit making a big difference.
Yes.
For not only our neighborhoods, but for our nation as well.
Okay. All right. What are some other services that are offered to individuals through the Neighborhood Watch Program? From my understanding, it seems like the Neighborhood Watch Program kind of works with maybe neighborhood captains to keep their areas safe, but there has to be more services that are offered than just a mentoring type of program. Could you share that with the listeners?
Absolutely. We are actually a subgrantee of the City of Racine for what's called the IDA program, and that stands for Individual Development Asset Account. And over the past 6 years, we have helped low to moderate income individuals buy homes. I believe it's close to 60 at this point in the past 6 years. But what this program does is it takes individuals who may not have had an opportunity to purchase a home in the past and gives them the tools to be successful savers,
okay,
to work on their credit, to build up their credit score, to make them able and eligible for mortgages. They save $1,000 The city does a 3-to-1 match that's used at the time of closing and for their down payment. And we also have counseling services, a home buyer program that is through Housing Resources. We have financial fitness that they participate in, a lead-based paint program. So you know that when you get to a house and you're ready to buy, you have the tools, the understanding, how to purchase a house, what to look for, what's a good buy, what's maybe not a good buy. Plus, you've developed those values of savings and long-term savings and goal setting. So it's really a remarkable program for those that, again, are low to moderate income who maybe have not had or would not have a chance to purchase a home.
Okay.
Another program we've just concluded is we work with a nonprofit called Group Work Camps, and they're out of Colorado. This is the 17th year that we've partnered with them. Group Work Camps actually what they do is they get together and they find youth groups who are interested in going on a mission trip. And when they're kind of a clearinghouse for that, there are 40 different sites that they can choose.
Okay.
We had over 440 students that are 14 to 19 years old choose to come to Racine, Wisconsin.
Wow.
And make a difference. And they do home repairs. They do minor home repairs. They paint the inside, paint the outside, scrape the garage, they paint the garage, build fences, build porches, while at the same time building relationships and getting to know that the world is a very, very small place. As I said, we've hosted this for 17 years, and in that 17 years, over 950 homes, and those are for individuals who own homes, have had that revitalization and that repair done.
That is very good information to have and to know, especially any services or programs that are providing an incentive that is going to build relationships. And I've heard you say that a bit. It seems like Neighborhood Watch and maybe National Night Out is to assist in building relationships.
Absolutely.
And with a lot of the news that is going on with communities and their relationships with police officers, I'm glad that Neighborhood Watch seems to have a good working relationships with the officers in Racine and other neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
And so the COP House, how has those type of endeavors helped to build relationships with communities and the neighbors, with police and neighbors?
Well, the community policing houses, community-oriented policing, COP, have been around since the 80s. And the intent is to build up the relationships with police and neighbors in creating safe neighborhoods. Oftentimes, individuals are afraid to call the police if there's a problem, and even though we encourage them always to call, there's always that stigma. And some people are just kind of afraid to call police.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a relationship, a standing relationship with somebody that you trust,
mm-hmm.
somebody you know that's there, it's easier to say, "Hey, officer so-and-so, I saw this happening," or "I saw, you know, this doesn't seem right," or "This seems suspicious to me. Can you help me check it out?" And these COP houses have been placed in areas that traditionally had high crime rates, and the intention being that once the neighborhood has cleared up some of that crime
mm-hmm.
and become a stable area,
uh-huh.
the home then becomes for sale for a resident to take up home right there,
wow.
and the COP house that is moved or started someplace
mm-hmm.
else.
Okay. And I think that I had heard that there may be a new COP house that has just come about. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. The newest community policing house is in Mount Pleasant. It is at 2237 Mead Street. It is called the Lakeside COP House, and they've taken off with a bang there. There was an officer working with the neighborhood for about a year, but now that the house is officially open, they're able to do many more things. We, for example, this is just a small indication of how a difference can be made. When the COP officer did the first cleanup a year ago,
uh-huh.
they filled all sorts of dumpsters. This is fast forward to year two.
Okay.
We did the neighborhood cleanup. We filled two dumpsters, but the neighbors who participated last year versus the comparing last year to this year for what they saw, they said, mm-hmm. you know what? There's not as much of a mess this year as last year. So it kind of speaks to the idea that people like clean neighborhoods.
Yes.
When you see something nice, it motivates you to do something nice as well. There's a theory called the broken window theory, and it was developed by some criminologists back in the 80s. But it really gained notoriety with Mayor Bloomberg out of New York.
Okay.
And what that said was, if you have an area with broken windows and a lot of graffiti, you're almost inviting crime. Because what you are saying is, we don't care about this neighborhood.
That makes sense.
And criminals can think, well, if they don't care about their neighborhood, that makes it a real easy, attractive place for me to hide or to do crime or to do my drugs. And so with this broken windows theory, Mayor Giuliani really took the idea of cleaning up little things, the quality of life issues, if mm-hmm. you will, and said, you know what, let's clean this up. Let's show we care. Let's let the criminal element know that this neighborhood cares and we're not going to take it anymore. Right. And so that's what a lot of these cleanups do on a larger scale or even a smaller scale. And even with the group work camp program, it's taking back that neighborhood quality of life, saying, this is my neighborhood. I'm proud of where I live. Mm-hmm. You don't belong here, then get out.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what are some of the other agencies in the community that Neighborhood Watch partners with? So we have the COP houses, and we have community centers. So in addition to those type of things, what other agencies do you work with?
We work with, of course, the Racine Police Department. We work with our IDA partners, and there are various banks that we work with for that. We also work with the city of Racine very closely. Even things like city code enforcement is another one we work with. So if neighbors see a problem, they know to call code enforcement. If the grass is high or if there is a trash problem that is not beneficial or hazardous to a neighborhood. So we work with all the different city departments as well as our IDA partners and, of course, the group work camp out of Colorado.
Okay. Because I am still so interested in all of the activities that the Neighborhood Watch program provides, but mainly the National Night Out, one of the things that is listed is that building community pride by creating a cohesive neighborhood for individuals to work together helps everyone overall. Can you tell me how Racine has benefited or some of the benefits of National Night Out being hosted by Racine? I know that we've received some awards over the years, but what are some other benefits of us participating in an event like this for our neighbors?
Well, I think you can see that over the past 20 years, how the neighborhoods have changed. We have over time done 800 block starts, and we currently have 350 block captains. But what National Night Out does is break the ice. It takes those rows of houses, if you will, mm-hmm. and takes it away from being rows of houses and being a neighborhood of families mm-hmm. and individuals. So it's that icebreaker. It's also sending the bigger picture that, you know, goodbye drugs, goodbye crime. We don't want you in our neighborhood anymore.
Okay. And now that we are in the 21st century and things are changing, social media is definitely a cornerstone of how we receive information. Does the Neighborhood Watch program have a Facebook, or does the National Night Out have a Facebook? And what is some information that may be on there today that people should be aware of?
Definitely, National Night Out has a Facebook. We have a Facebook as well. We also have a website, www.racinenw.com. What would you find on your Facebook page today? Oh, Let's see, what did I put on there today? I'm actually getting stuff for the next couple days set and scheduled. I think today I put something about the Doll Buggy Parade. Mm. We have, I believe, 9 or 10 sites that with the Park and Rec Department that host doll buggy parades. And it encourages the kids to come out, decorate their buggies, their bikes, and celebrate the 4th of July. Again, that's a great community building thing where come together, cheer on the kids, you start talking, you find out about your neighbors and where you live. So that's one of the things you can build neighbors. That's why that was on there. If you go back a couple days, there was something that I posted about safety on the 4th of July.
Okay.
Make sure your home's doors are locked. Make sure that you are double-checking when you leave. You have somebody watching your home.
Important.
Leaving the fireworks to the professionals is another good
very
one.
Good mm-hmm. point.
mm-hmm. Grill safety. All these different things to help you where you live to be safe, happy, healthy.
Awesome. So by strongly encouraging all residents to support and hopefully participate in the National Out campaign, we are believing, or I believe, that this brings down crime overall. So I'm understanding from what you are saying is that our participation has increased over the years.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you see it continuing to increase, or do you think that it may stay the same? And if stay the same, what may encourage individuals to participate more in this very important issue?
Well, my goal is always to make it grow a little bit more, because the more people you reach, the more people that understand the validity, again, of it's not just a block of houses or a street full of houses. It is families in a neighborhood.
Absolutely.
There's as many blocks there are in the city of Racine, that's how many events that we could potentially have. And the more that you get people together, again, the idea that everybody's watchful, everybody, mm-hmm. if you see something suspicious, you report it. That's the key. If you as a neighbor know what belongs or doesn't belong in your neighborhood.
Right.
So if a patrol officer is, you know, driving around the neighborhood, he sees a red truck there, and to him it's a red truck. But if you know that doesn't belong there,
yes,
then you call in and you make report. Getting those ideas and getting that out to all individuals in the neighborhood, knowing that together, if they keep their eye out for suspicious things, suspicious activity, things that don't belong, and calling the police, they'll be able to prevent some of this crime.
Okay. Now, I have to let the listeners know that I did do a neighborhood watch event last year in my neighborhood.
Yay. Have you registered for this year?
And I haven't yet, but my paperwork is in the mail. No, I really am participating. I'm getting my signatures now from the various neighbors, because there's a process that you go through. Mm-hmm. So if someone wanted to do a neighborhood event, what is the process that they would follow?
All you have to do is call Racine Neighborhood Watch, and or you can email me. My phone number is 262-635-3327, and I would be happy to send or either mail or email you a registration form. By sending in a registration form, that helps us with understanding how many people are participating. Each event also gets a goodie bag. So it's a goodie bag of prizes that the neighbors can decide how they're given out. There are T-shirts and little toys and things like that. So just to make the event a little more special.
Mm.
You can also, if you're planning on closing off your street,
mm-hmm.
because it's considered a city event, the city of Receive waives the $25 street closing fee.
Okay.
Now, there is a form that I can send to you as well, but it does go right back to the city, room 304, if you're wondering. and that's over at City Hall. And they, you still need the 51% signatures,
yes.
of the neighbors agreeing that you are going to do this. But again, the $25 fee is waived on Tuesday, August 4th for National Light Out.
All right.
And National Light Out is always the second Tuesday. I'm sorry, the first Tuesday.
The first Tuesday in August. Mm-hmm. Do you know how that came about, it being August?
It's just the anniversary of the very first National Light Out.
Great.
It was the first Tuesday in August.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. So how can an individual improve on other safety tips. So you gave some examples of keeping the light on, making sure that you leave fireworks to the professionals, and make sure that grilling is safe. What other safety tips can you offer up, or if not just for the 4th of July, just period, as an individual who would like to keep their home and their family safer?
Well, definitely you're planning a trip. Let someone know where you're going. If you are planning a trip, it's also a good idea sometimes to find a trusted neighbor, mm-hmm, who will be responsible for bringing in your mail.
Okay.
And letting the neighbor know if you have lights on a timer, that's very important.
Great.
Sometimes it's good to let another neighbor know that maybe Joe Smith is going to be watching your house. So if Joe Smith happens to be rattling the doors and looking in the windows, it's not a criminal element.
Exactly.
It's a friend of yours who is just keeping an eye on the property.
Hmm.
Also good to leave emergency contact numbers with people in case that something should happen at your home so we can get a hold of you or your neighbors can. Oftentimes the block captain will do that. It's not required. Each block does what that block feels is important to them. So when someone is a block watch captain, they're the same as everybody else. They've just been the one who's going to be the liaison for information. Now, some blocks will have that block captain, as I said, take the information, like when you're going on vacation or who is your dog, what's your dog's name,
mm-hmm,
what are your kids' name, in case somebody goes missing or somebody sees a dog running around. Oh, that's so-and-so's dog. You know, that's Sally Smith's dog, Sadie.
Exactly.
She must have gotten out. Let's go get her.
Okay. So going back to your diverse background with regards to community services and things like that, can you let the listeners know how this has helped in your overall role as director? There's a connection, but with you being new, what do you see you will bring to it for the future in your position? What are your future goals in your position?
Well, what we are doing is becoming more of a high-touch organization. Again, when you're working with something like crime and crime prevention,
mm-hmm,
and things, I mean, crime can be very personal. It can be very upsetting if you're the one that's been robbed or, mm-hmm, vandalized or burglarized. So getting that high touch, really being able to be accessible to people.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the phone, I'm going to be the one that answers the phone. You know, if you have a problem, we'll work on it together. Really, when it comes to neighborhoods, my goal is to have the neighbors empower themselves to,
okay,
solve the problems. Because if they solve the problems themselves, then it's going to be more meaningful. But as program director, I'm there to help start them off and also to mentor and guide them as they're going on this process. So my goal is to get many more block starts going and block restarts. Because as time goes on, neighbors move away, neighbors change. And sometimes you notice, hey, look at that neighborhood watch sign. It's kind of fading. I wonder if I know, you know, who that neighbor is two doors down that just moved in. So also encouraging block restarts,
okay,
is a really good goal, or a big goal for me, because that neighborhood might have been very, very active at one time, but now just because of time and changes in situation, they may have lost that contact and that touch.
Okay.
And it's a good way to get a new sign if your sign's faded.
In my neighborhood, we did get a new sign, so that was one of the benefits. Mm-hmm. What would be some of the challenges that may be present in the future for Neighborhood Watch? I know that in the news there's been just a lot of talk and discussion about crime in cities overall, especially in some areas like Detroit, Michigan. There's high crime in Chicago, higher crime maybe in Milwaukee, and that's not, that may not be the exact representation for Racine. But what would be some challenges you...
Well, one of the challenges is that we're kind of solving our own problem. Being Racine Neighborhood Watch, and with the community policing and with the efforts of the Racine Police Department, crime has actually gone down in the city of Racine. However, if crime hits, it doesn't matter what the city numbers are, if it strikes your backyard, it's 100% crime to you.
Right.
And so there are always going to be those pockets and always going to be that need for individuals to take responsibility and really stay vigilant. That's the key, staying vigilant. You don't want to just kind of fall back on your laurels and just say, okay, my neighborhood's good, because that's when you open up yourselves to having crime step back in. Neighborhood, the block watches, really, they can get together as often they want. Some of the block watches get together, like you said, yours once a year, right? I have some block watches that only get together when there's a problem.
Okay.
I have a block watch that the neighbors have gotten so close that they get together for coffee once a week.
Wow.
So it's all what fits the personality of the neighborhood. And as I said, if that crime strikes your backyard or your next door neighbor, it's a 100% problem for you.
Right.
And that's why we want everyone to kind of keep your head on a swivel. Always be aware and alert. We don't want Gladys Kravitz out there, you know, with her binoculars staring and taking notes. But just being generally aware of your surroundings and aware of who belongs and who doesn't. Nipping crime in the bud is the way to go. Because once the crime is there, it's much more difficult to remove.
Right. So at the Neighborhood Watch meetings, I know that sometimes you attend and maybe facilitate or kind of work with the group of individuals that have gotten together to discuss what's going on in their community. And what would a typical agenda consist of? What are some of the things that are discussed at the meetings that are important to the neighbors that you have participated in?
Are you talking about the block starts?
Yes.
Well, if we are indoors, we have a PowerPoint. If not, I mean, we'll sit outside in the backyard, whatever's comfortable and convenient. What we do is we talk about the background of Neighborhood Watch, just like we've talked about here, why we do what we do, and how we do it. We talk about the programs like we have here, but we also talk about crime and how to prevent crime. And we've touched on all of those things here. Even things like taking a look at your surroundings and environmental things. If your bushes are too high, that's
good
a great
point.
That's a great, what's the word I want? Invitation.
Yes.
To someone come in your window, because they won't be seen.
Yes.
They won't be seen. I know when I had my first house, I had huge pine trees right by
that
my bedroom
so
window.
That is so true, though.
And I loved it because I'd open the window, hear the little, you know, the whistling through the pines. Well, it turned out that blocks down one day, the laundromat was broken into, and the perpetrators had run way down by my house. And one of the kids that had taken the quarters was hiding in that pine tree right under my bedroom window.
Wow,
and
yeah.
They didn't find the kid, but they found all his quarters. And I thought, you know, here I'm just enjoying how pretty it is.
Yes.
But it's something that if you don't know to look for it, you don't know to look for it. But when somebody tells you, that bush is awful high, do you know that, a criminal could hide behind there and wait till an opportune time to break into your house?
Right.
You know, oh, that bush is kind of high. Or, you left your kitchen window open just a tad. That little bit can really be detrimental. Or, you're running in the house for 5 minutes, you don't lock your car. It's all about opportunity for the criminals.
Opportunity.
And you want to make sure that you lessen the opportunity, make yourself less of a target. And taking some of those proactive steps, like making sure to lock your doors and cutting down your bushes and being aware of your surroundings, are proactive steps to prevent you from being a victim of crime.
Yeah. Very good point. Some of those things we really don't even think about, making sure that our bushes don't obstruct our windows. If somebody were to be in a home and they shouldn't be there, no one would know if, you know, things like that. And definitely locking doors.
Or even something as simple as, and there was a rash of burglaries in Racine earlier this spring. It's nice out, so you go ahead, you've got your house open, letting the fresh air in.
Yes.
You go in the backyard and do some work. You're in the backyard, the front door is open. That's an open invitation to a criminal
Very
to
open.
Walk in, bam, take something and go. And you won't even notice until you're looking for it. So again, those things that we don't know to look for it, if mm-hmm. you don't know to look for it. But when somebody says, did you lock your windows? Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. Okay. All right. So.
And then also with the block starts, just to get back on topic there, we also invite law enforcement to speak to the residents. And we also invite the alder people, the aldermen or alderwomen, to come in and talk with the residents and get to know the residents on more of a one-to-one basis.
Are any of these individuals able to participate in National Night Out events? I know last year when I hosted one for my neighborhood, we had McGruff come out, and I think the application asked if you would like other individuals to be a part of it or to come and show up. What are some individuals? What Who visits or who typically may visit a National Night Out neighborhood event?
Well, all of our participants try very, very hard to make it to all of the neighborhood events. Last year, they made it to almost 80% of
wow.
the events. McGruff is somebody you can ask to come.
Uh-huh.
McGruff the crime dog.
Take a bite out of crime.
You also have representation from the police.
Oh.
Fire engines are very popular.
Yes, especially with the kids.
Yes. Sheriff. And this year, because State Fair does not overlap with National Night Out, mm-hmm. we're having some representation from the Wisconsin State Patrol. So we'll have a state trooper making the rounds as well.
Wow.
So it's a busy night for everybody. It's a little nerve-wracking hosting a party for 6,000 people.
Do you try to be at any of them? I can't imagine
you
would be at all of them, but...
No. Oh, I'm on the move, let me tell you. And I do make contact with all of the event planners.
Okay.
Again, even if it's just to get them their goodie prize bags,
mm-hmm.
And really just encourage them and follow up afterwards. Say, how did it work? What worked well? What didn't work so well? If you had a really great idea, can you share it with me so we can share it with everybody else next year? So was there a game that worked really well or mm-hmm. an activity that the kids really seemed to enjoy? Or was there a conversation starter that seemed to work well with your neighbors?
Mm-hmm.
Like we had said, oldest resident, newest resident,
I
history,
really love those those ideas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or you could actually think about talking about a book exchange,
mm-hmm.
Recipe exchanges.
Yes.
Even help the kids take some names and numbers and maybe start working on getting a library card program started so that maybe you can get the kids to get library cards so that will help them with their reading in their summer.
That is so good. I know for last year when I did mine, I talked with one of the neighbors, and I had lived in my neighborhood 15 years and had never or hardly ever knew the names of any of my neighbors, hardly ever communicated with any of them. And this event, actually, I know all of my neighbors.
Yay,
and so one of the ideas that we had last year was I talked to a neighbor who had been in my neighborhood for a number of years and who knew everyone. And so I would ask her, tell me a little bit about Mary. Tell me a little bit about Bob. And then when we got together, I played a game. So which neighbor is the person whose dog is Ruffy and on vacation they typically go to Wisconsin Dells?
Neighbor trivia. Good
neighbor
for you.
Trivia.
Good for you.
And so all of the neighbors got a chance to hear some little bit of information about their neighbors so that it was an effort to get everyone a little mm-hmm. bit more familiar.
Absolutely.
So I like those ideas that you have suggested.
Well, thank you.
Definitely.
And it's also a good idea if it's just neighbors in an area. For example, if you've got 200 people coming together in a parking lot, maybe bringing up the idea of, gee, what can we do to make our neighborhood better? I know you. You live down the street. Let's talk about maybe starting a block watch. Or
yes.
Let's see if we can come together and really make a difference in our neighborhood.
And so if someone wanted to start a block watch, they could just contact Neighborhood Watch mm-hmm. and go through the process, and you would help them to start that up.
Absolutely. What we suggest is that you do talk to your neighbors
mm-hmm.
ahead of time. Make sure that at least half of them are on board, because we don't want just one or two kind of heading or spearheading up the neighborhood, because that misses the intent of the neighbors taking ownership for where they live.
Yes.
So you really need, for this effective, you really need the buy-in of everybody. Everybody has to say, together we're going to watch, together we're going to do this. And as a unified block, an organized block, that's when you're going to see the greatest results and have the greatest success.
Yes, yes. All statistics that I have looked at have suggested exactly that. Mm-hmm. When individuals come together and collaboratively work to make their neighborhood better and safer, it decreases the need for police involvement as much, and overall, it pushes, it, like you said, it takes a bite out of crime when individuals come together.
Absolutely.
So that is definitely something that is positive out of that. So if someone wanted to get more information, mm-hmm. how, now you said you had a website earlier. Mm-hmm. Could you just please again repeat the website?
And a little slower.
A little slower. And the address for the Racines Neighborhood Watch and phone number.
Sure. Our website is www.racinenw.com. My phone number is, my direct line is 262-635-3327. Or you can send an email to me. It's Susan@RacineNW, stands for Neighborhood Watch, .com. So again, that's Susan@RacineNW.com.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Susan, I really appreciate all of the time that you have taken
you.
To provide us some information on National Night Out, some of the services that are being offered through the Neighborhood Watch Program. What would you like to share with the neighbors or the listeners, the listeners who are with us today that may just be something that of value? What would you like to leave with them?
Do not be afraid to call the police and report anything you think is suspicious.
Yes.
The non-emergency phone number for the Racine Police Department is 262-886-2300. Again, 262-886-2300. Police would rather have you call
mm-hmm.
and have it be nothing than miss something really important. And, you know, there aren't as many police out there as we would like, and because of that, police calls are more reactive rather than proactive.
Mm-hmm.
So the more, they don't know what they don't know unless somebody tells them.
That's true.
And so if there's a problem, if there's graffiti, or if there's break-ins, you need to report it, because that puts blips on their screen. And if all of a sudden we've got five or six neighbors calling, there are five or six blips on the screen. And the police are going to say, look at that. I guess we're going to need to, you know, pay a little more attention to this
exactly.
neighborhood because something's going on there. And again, if you see, it's the motto of Crime Stoppers. If you see something, say something. You know, your anonymity can be protected. You do
good
not
point.
Have to give your name.
Very
you
good
You do
point.
Not have to give your address. By state law, police have to follow up on every call,
mm-hmm.
but you do not have to have them stop at your house.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you choose to do. Now, oftentimes, if it's important information, giving your name can be helpful to them,
yes.
but it's always your right. You do not have to give your name. You do, and oftentimes, the only way people know that you are the one that called the police is
mm-hmm.
if you say something inadvertently. Oh, guess what, Sally? I called the police last night on that noisy house over there.
Okay.
That's about the only way is that things will get spread around is if you accidentally say something. So know that privacy is very, very important. Confidentiality is vital to making all these programs work. So my bit of advice would be if you see something, say something, call the of course, if it's an emergency, dial 911. But call the 886-2300 phone number. The police are there for you. This is what they do. They are here to serve and protect.
Well, thank you so much. Again, that was Susan Fear, Racine Neighborhood Watch Program Director. Thank you again, listeners, for joining us on this very important issue. And you will be hearing from us again next Saturday. Have a good 4th of July. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Support for classical music on WGTD comes from Piasecki Althaus, honoring personal legacies in the circle of life. They believe that every detail counts and every memory matters. Piasecki Althaus is located in Kenosha on 39th Avenue, serving the community since 1931.
Support comes from Music by the Lake at George Williams College of Aurora University in Williams Bay, featuring the John Pizzarelli Quartet, Sunday, July 12th at 4. The jazz guitarist singer has appeared with Frank Sinatra, Paul McCartney, and Natalie Cole. Tickets at musicbythelake.com.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Rock River Soap Company's handcrafted and natural